Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to share with you from the pages of one of my books I have entitled In Christ Jesus. In that book, I explore the kingdom way of living, which I believe is living in Christ Jesus. The phrase in Christ Jesus and similar ones like in Him, in Jesus, and in Christ are splashed all over the pages of the letters to the New Testament church. They make us understand that our Lord Jesus is both a person and a place in which you should be. Jesus himself said for us to abide or reside in him. John 15 verse 7. It is because humans were first living in Jesus Christ. So before we were put in the loins of our first earthly father, Adam, in Eden, we were in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4a says, and I quote, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love," unquote. So God chose us whilst we were in Christ Jesus, and this was before the foundation of the world. He chose us, so we were in him. It is important to know your true source, because the origin of an entity determines its strength. For example, if a piece of furniture is made of mahogany tree, then it is as strong as its source, the mahogany. Thus, if you know that you came from Jesus, then you know that you can have strength to live like Jesus on earth. That is, holy, without blame, before God, and in love. As in our immediate quote. Hallelujah. Now, because all mankind, without choosing to do so, started in Jesus, God's plan is that we should end up this time round willingly in Jesus Christ again. Now, this plan of God will only happen when we reside in Jesus now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, and I quote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You see from this verse that not everyone is in Christ now, although God wants all mankind to be in him. Beloved, this is the whole idea behind Jesus coming to us in the virgin birth over 2,000 years ago and taking the place of all mankind on the cross. It is so that all humans can get back their place in him. As we have said, not by force, but as an act of their will. In other words, those who are Jesus's believers, no matter how out of place they find themselves, can have back their former place in him. And the Lord Jesus used the falling out of place of the Apostle Peter to illustrate this in John chapter 13 verse 37 to chapter 14 and then verse 3. Let us read the scripture. Quote, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Unquote. This incident took place in the upper room, the night that Jesus exposed his remaining 11 apostles to some higher truths about the kingdom of God. There are a total of 12 main upper room truths or kingdom words that Jesus taught his believers from the book of John chapter 13 to chapter 17. Now let us look at the power of Jesus' performance on the cross. Among these upper room truths is the fact that Jesus is the residence of God and will be the residence of all who believe him, even if they earlier denied him, like Apostle Peter was to do by cockcrow. So all mankind should not be troubled, even including people like Apostle Peter, who verbally denied Jesus thrice after he had walked close to him and Jesus had exposed him to his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Rather, all mankind should now only believe that Jesus went to the cross to prepare them a place in him so that he could receive them again to himself. Beloved, you need to understand that on the cross, our dearest Jesus took away all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, on himself. It was so that anyone who has lost his place in him because of sin might get it back. And this included Apostle Peter's treasonous sin of verbally denying Jesus thrice with cursing and swearing. Matthew 26 verse 74. Quote, Then he, that is Peter, began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Unquote. You know, the Apostle Peter knew the implications of denying Jesus. Our dearest Jesus had earlier on taught that anyone who denied him before men was going to be denied by him before his Father and the holy angels. Matthew chapter 10 verse 32 and Luke chapter 12 verse 8 tells us that. So in the upper room, the Apostle Peter knew that he was going to lose his place in Jesus's heart. This was because he had just been most assuredly told by Jesus that he would deny him thrice by dawn time. Therefore, naturally, Apostle Peter was troubled in his heart, since to him there was no hope for him in Jesus again. It was therefore partly to reassure this apostle that Jesus immediately said, after predicting his denial, quote, "Let not your heart be troubled," unquote. Our Lord was by this saying that such people like Apostle Peter should believe in him, that he was going to prepare a place in himself for all mankind, including them. Hallelujah! How gracious our adorable Jesus is. Now let's look at the grace of our Lord Jesus. So, beloved, our dear Lord inferred to the apostle, and thus to all mankind, that he was about to go to the cross and then to heaven, where they could not go now because he was to go for them. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 and Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24 tells us that. Now on the cross, there would be grace for all mankind, including those who deny Jesus, even after walking with him and seeing his glory. It is because when he comes back from the cross and later from heaven, he will receive even such people who believe in him to himself. Yes, once the cross came in, Jesus will not deny anyone, even including those who deny him, once they believe in God and in him as well afterwards. This is in spite of what Jesus himself had earlier on said, that he would deny them before his Father and the holy angels. Hallelujah! Thank God for his cross. Beloved, the cross of Jesus crosses out all our sins, even including outright, downright, continuous denials of people who should know better. Therefore, when Jesus resurrected, he started looking for Apostle Peter in particular. Mark chapter 16 and verse 7 teaches us that Jesus will fulfill his word to the treasonous apostle. It is because on the cross he had taken away Peter's sin of denying him thrice, together with the garnishing curses and swearing he put on the denial. Now, by receiving all people who believe, including those like the Apostle Peter to himself, then wherever Jesus will be, there they will be as well. Now, how is that possible? It is possible because they will be residing or living in him. So Jesus will carry them everywhere he goes, whether in heaven, on earth, or anywhere he will be. Hallelujah. So there is great grace for you to get back into Jesus Christ, my friend. It is all because of the cross. By believing in him, which is mainly in his work for you on the cross of Calvary, you will get back your place in him, making you a new creature over there, with no evil past at all. Hallelujah. In the upper room, our gracious Jesus said that there were many mansions or dwelling places in his Father's house. Many people think of this only as heaven. I do not want to fault them. I will only add that Jesus himself taught on two different occasions that heaven is God's throne, not necessarily God's house. Matthew chapter 5 verse 34 and chapter 23 verse 22 teaches us that heaven is God's throne. And beloved, there is a difference between a throne and a house. Ladies and gentlemen, God is too big to be contained in any place. You may be contained in heaven, but heaven, the earth, and the whole universe cannot contain God, because they actually exist in God. God can only live in Himself, that is, in Jesus Christ.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 8b to 9 says, and I quote, "And not according to Christ, for in Him," that is in Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," unquote. Wow. Beloved, God lives in Jesus as His house. The Greek word that is translated "dwells" in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 to 9 means to house permanently. To house permanently. So God permanently resides in Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is God's house, and He said there were many dwelling places in Him for all mankind as well. Praise the Lord. In fact, in John chapter 14 verse 10, Jesus asked the apostles in the upper room, and I quote, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works," unquote. In verse 11a, Jesus went on to say, quote, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." Hallelujah. So the scripture says God lives in Jesus and Jesus lives in God. Yes, the Godhead resides in each other and therefore cannot be separated. That is the ultimate kingdom status that God wants to put you back into, where you cannot be separated from the God class. Yes, God wants you to be in Jesus and Jesus in you. He wants you to be in God and God in you. Our dear Lord Jesus wants to be one with you, just as He is with the Father. John chapter 17 verse 20 to 21 says, and I quote, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one." And note this emphasis: "As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me," unquote. These are the words of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a believer, begin to see yourself in Jesus Christ. Begin to consider that where you live is where God permanently resides as well. Wow! This is life-changing. Humbly see yourself as part of God and God as part of you. Hallelujah. In other words, I mean, see yourself swimming in God's powerful spirit and dispositions whilst on earth. Yes, my friend, you can taste the realm of God around you now as you live in Christ Jesus, the place where God also dwells. And this will get unbelievers also to believe in Jesus as the sent Savior. Hallelujah. Beloved, in Jesus where you reside, you can only be alive to God and dead to sin. That is what the book of Romans chapter 6 and then verse 10 to 11 teaches. It says, and I quote, "For the dead that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Note, alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Once you are in Christ Jesus, the Bible is teaching us in Romans chapter 6 that you are alive to God who lives in Jesus as well. So you need to have a new mindset. Romans chapter 6, where we just quoted from, that you are alive in to God in Christ Jesus, is one of the first places in the epistles where we have the phrase "in Christ Jesus," and it has to do with overcoming sin in your practical day-to-day life. The Bible says that just as sin was imputed to Jesus on the cross, you should impute or consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God if only you are residing in Jesus. I want you to note the word "indeed" in our quote in Romans chapter 6. This word "indeed" means in practical reality. "Indeed" is from two words, "in" and "deed," that talks about in works or in practical reality. It implies that functionally, not just ceremonially, you are alive to God. So overcoming sin in your daily life has to do with how you consider or you reckon yourself. I will say it again. From that scripture, overcoming sin in your practical daily life, overcoming sin indeed, has to do with how you consider or reckon yourself. You must see yourself residing in Jesus. You must consider yourself residing in Jesus. You must reckon yourself residing in Jesus so that you can live in righteousness. You must have this new mindset, my friend. You know, sin is used mostly as a noun in the book of Romans than as a verb. It infers that in order to live practically over sin, you should understand that you have the position of righteousness as a noun once you are living in Jesus. As a believer, God sees you as righteous because it is the spiritual truth. Beloved, just as Jesus did not only carry your sins but actually became sin on the cross, so do you not only do righteous acts but actually became the righteousness of God. This was when you entered into Christ at the new birth. Hallelujah. Now, what this means is that as a believer, you are so righteous that you are the righteousness of God. So there is no point in trying to be righteous before God by your works, because you are already righteous. You are already His righteousness. And so it is not the righteous activities you do as a believer that makes you righteous. Listen very carefully here. It is not the righteous activities you do as a believer that makes you righteous. As a believer, certainly your practical righteous living, your righteous activities shows that you are righteous, but it does not make you righteous. What makes you righteous is your faith in Jesus minus your practical works. Hallelujah. As the righteousness of God, you are in Him and He is in you. Now, because you are the righteousness of God, all positive things you do, whether in church or at your secular jobs, are righteous. So as far as you are concerned, it is not just activities like fasting and prayer, reading the Bible, etc., which are righteous acts, but all other positive things you do, like working at your secular jobs and other good out of church activities to humanity, are righteous as well. Also, as the righteousness of God, the world is waiting for you to right all the wrongs around. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 21 teaches us that. So whenever you show up, God has shown up to put things right in people's lives and in society. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that righteousness rules. You are God's weapon of righteousness, beloved. And righteousness rules over sin and all wrongs. So you should not be scared of the wrongs around you. Yes, my friend, you cannot have a neutral, "this world is not my home" attitude that makes you passive to affairs on earth that is defaulted to error. You know, our earth is defaulted to error. But you cannot be passive to the wrongs on this earth. It is true, and I agree, that this world is not our home as believers. But if all that God wants is for you to have close fellowship with Him, He would have taken you to heaven, His throne, the moment you became a believer. Surely, God firstly wants to have intimate fellowship with you. But that is even partly for the ultimate purpose of equipping you to rule this erroneous earth. Really, that is why believers will go to heaven for a while, to be equipped or prepared to perfectly rule in the earth. It is because heaven is God's throne, or a place of His perfect rule, where you are impacted with a perfect version of God's rule. Revelation 21 verse 2 and verse 9 to 10 teaches us that. So my friend, the world is waiting for believers who understand that they are the very righteousness of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 19. "I will come your way again. Until then, I want you to walk in dominion, even as you live in Christ Jesus, the ultimate kingdom way of living." Shalom, blessings to you.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart and make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.